Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, what about our basketball? Are you guys excited about the playoffs or not? You excited?
Not really.
I know, I wish the Rockets
were. I wish I was more, but I got kind of hyped up on Rockets, and so no Rockets.
I know.
But I will later on. I probably will in the next round. I don't care about right now the first round stuff. There are certain matchups I care about. I do care about Clippers and Dallas. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
This is a good matchup.
Certain ones I care about, but once we get past round one, it'll be pretty much all
Mavs done. Lakers, interesting. Nuggets Lakers.
I mean, the Lakers can't beat the Nuggets, so I guess from that standpoint. Michael Jordan.
But this is the revenge.
Michael Jordan would have beaten the Nuggets,
revenge
I'm just saying.
Tour. Revenge tour, remember that.
For who?
For LeBron. You're going to get revenge from last year.
Okay.
He's a vengeful person.
Vengeful goat?
Vengeful king.
Vengeful king. That's right. That's
what I know Michael Jordan would never lose 9 times in a row to Jokic. Never.
No, just billing beer.
Never. No. He lifted weights and then beat them.
But he lost them quite a bit, and then he beat them.
No, he got beat up.
And
then,
lost.
What did he do?
Beat them.
And then he owned them, and they had to
walk off the court.
And Isaiah Thomas shielded his head. Yeah. Smart move, dummy. Now you're off the dream team.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Now we're at the point where Michael Jordan never lost the game?
Michael Jordan is the
is
most
spiteful.
Is that where
we're at now?
Michael Jordan is the most spiteful person maybe that's ever lived.
Name
the five most spiteful people in sports history. Jordan is one. He's calling people out at his Hall of Fame induction.
That whole thing was, that's all it was.
It was his revenge tour was, I'm going to use this platform to beat people up. Jordan is the most spiteful athlete I've ever seen. Then who? Nick Bosa? He blocked me on Twitter.
That's why he's the most vengeful person?
Spiteful.
I know Joey's spiteful.
Joey who?
Joey Bosa. Remember, he got kicked out of a game because he was so mad at the refs. For not calling holding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the Bosas are...
Yeah.
They're on brand.
And a basketball player.
Is there
like
a baseball
Bosa.
Player no, that's really spiteful? That... Oh, Mike Fiers.
Oh.
Is Mike Fiers not spiteful?
How do you even say that name?
Well, is he not spiteful?
He's not spiteful.
He ruined Jose Altuve's... He ruined Jose Altuve's
life?
Reputation.
Yeah, he did.
No, Mike Fiers ruined his reputation.
He did.
For some people, not for us. Not for baseball people, but just for dumbasses who are simple-minded, simpletons, who need to spend too much time in the water, underneath the water, to keep trying to see if they can win their hold-your-breath mark. Keep going for your hold-your-breath mark, anti-Altuves. See how hot you can get. See if you can stick your arm in an oven and see what happens.
Hmm.
Do dumb stuff, you losers.
So he was dancing around telling people to drown, and now... Putting them in.
No, I'm saying
putting
that.
A piece of their self in an oven.
No, I'm saying do whatever you can do. Look, try to break records. Like, what's the furthest you can jump off of a building and not kill yourself? Like, can you? How many times straight can you jump off of your house and survive? Try that. If you hate Altuve because of the trash cans and the buzzers. Okay, and that's on Mike Fiers.
Are we
the blood
gonna,
of Jose Altuve?
Should we be nominating
the blood
you?
Of Altuve? Is on your hands.
Should we be he's not bleeding or dead. Should we be nominating you as one of the most spiteful people in sports, considering what you just said?
I have wished.
You do. What you was do. Quite yeah.
You go to ugly places.
I wish somebody to have
often.
An abscessed tooth one time.
You want to spit in people's mouths while they're sleeping?
Yeah, because Sean McVay.
I wouldn't say I'm top five, but probably in the top.
Sean McVay
20.
Had a hot, attractive girlfriend, and yeah. and you
oh,
said
Bill
this.
O'Brien.
I like to spit coach. In his mouth while he sleeps.
Bill O'Brien for sure. Bill O'Brien. Oh my God! There's some things I can't even tell you. Bill O'Brien. vanquished a foe, and then he still went after the foe after he was vanquished and tried to kick the corpse. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard of. But anyway, yeah, so Bill O'Brien is one. Mike Fiers is two.
So you're just doing local.
Oh, no, what about, oh, no, wait, basketball players. What about Draymond Green?
Michael.
No, okay, whoa, Michael's one.
One.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Michael's one. But who's the basketball player that's always trying to get, like, Micah Parsons is pretty spiteful. Somebody who has podcasts who they're always trying to.
Antonio Brown is spiteful.
Oh, he's in the list.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown,
he broke up a marriage.
Well, he likes to act like he did.
Yeah.
All right, so Michael Jordan and Antonio Brown are 100% on the spite list. 713-780-3776. I need help on this one. I'm not even in the top 20 to 30.
Oh, no, you're right.
You're
up there.
Very
you
spiteful.
You want people to kill themselves?
Is there a baseball?
You want to tase people on Twitter because they say something? You want to, yeah.
I'm not arguing any of this.
But
I think it's to make things better.
You're arguing for physical pain for people.
Yeah, but I do it to make things better. Like, bad people need to be tased so they stop as a deterrent.
Not even bad people. That's, like, just even people who say dumb stuff, you want that to happen to.
Well, the Altuve thing, this is that man's career. It's his livelihood.
He'll survive.
It's his legacy.
He's surviving. Altuve is fine.
Okay, and you'll survive if you.
You don't have to wish.
You'll mostly survive if you jump off of your house one time.
But you said how many times can they do it without hurting themselves? You want a record to be broken.
For a record.
You'll mostly survive.
Most people will, depending on how they land. Okay? Angel Hernandez? Jake O'Donnell?
He's incompetent. Is he spiteful?
Yeah. I don't know if he's incompetent. Well, he's everything.
Jake O'Donnell? He got kicked out of basketball because he had a grudge against Clyde Drexler, and basketball kicked him out.
Yep.
How is he not in there?
He's in there.
And you don't want to tell me that umpires aren't spiteful?
Joey Crawford was spiteful.
Yeah.
Joe West was spiteful.
Umpires and officials are spiteful.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
They should be on that list. Bill O'Brien is on the list. I feel like, man, I'll be honest with you.
You're on the list.
I feel like Russell Westbrook is on the list.
Well, don't talk about that man's name.
You can't do anything or you get kicked out of games.
There it is.
You're going to get kicked out of I'm going to get kicked off the radio for saying Westbrook.
Well, not the radio. He doesn't have that type of power.
Westbrook.
But if you're
Westbrook.
No, you have to be in an NBA arena and say it. They don't have you kicked out.
I'll say it in an Westbrook.
You're not in an arena right now.
I will.
Go to Dallas for the Clippers Dallas series.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
Westbrook. It's disrespectful.
It makes me so uncomfortable when you do that.
He sucks.
Because I already know he's going to try to get
you
kicked out of something.
He's a Hall of Famer, and he's probably the worst three-point
You want to get kicked
ever.
Out of Diamond Club? Keep saying Westbrook, and watch how quick you get kicked out of Diamond Club.
Jim Crane don't care about Westbrook.
What about
Jim Crane cares about getting some home wins. That's what Jim
He doesn't
Crane
care about it that much. That's it's been going on for 2 years now.
He doesn't apparently care enough. He hates it.
He might want to care more.
He might want to
care. Are we having a guest next? Is that confirmed?
Bye.
Look at him.
He is the worst. He was supposed to.
Did he actually text her?
No.
And not with the you
he's
up?
The worst.
Did you text her you up?
You say that?
I just said just a reminder. She said text me 20 minutes before. How about 3?
You didn't. I told you.
I know, but it things are crazy in here.
No,
like,
it isn't. No, you actually.
It was a lot of.
You said thanks.
You said on the air. Thanks, Dell.
No, I was in the middle of a commercial when you told me.
No, you weren't.
You kept doing this like.
I was like, text, and he goes, oh, thanks, Del. And then do it. But we do have to get to a break. And
we got to talk about Texas Star Girl Show.
There it is. Lance, it's your turn. Once again.
Oh, boy. I always do these things, but with Del's help.
What?
I want to tell you about the club, Texas Grill Shop. I've spoken for Texas Grill Shop. I started in 2008, and they changed my life. I remember when... the owners, it was just a little dream of theirs, and what they've turned into is a barbecue empire. But what's important to you is just to know that they've created the club. And the club is basically a barbecue club. You can go online and look into it if you want and sign up for it online at 975grills.com. But the club pricing is good just by word of mouth. If you come in, they can offer better prices on pretty much any of the grills that are out there. There's no one that is going to beat them on prices on the major brands like Traeger. And you know why? Because they are the premier dealer. They have been. I'm the First person who had a Traeger that many of you ever heard about. One of the, as a matter of fact, we met Andrew, who is a salesman for Traeger, a regional salesman. He said he found out about it from listening to our radio show when I would talk about them years ago. They have the best wood pellet grills. They have the best gas grills. They build kitchens, custom kitchens, and their design is absolutely free. They can build that out there for you. And John mentioned pizza ovens the other day. They're saying pizza ovens is going to become the new pellet grill. That's going to become the new big thing that everyone's going to have in their outdoor kitchen. And it's so easy to use. It looks great and it is incredibly functional. Make sure that you go to TexasGrillShop.com if you want, or better yet, just go to the website, 975grills.com. That's 975grills.com. Mention that you heard about the sales from the club and they will honor all their special pricing for you. But you've got to mention the club. That's 975grills.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, 9:17 here on the show, and joining us now is an old friend. Met her, actually had a great conversation about not just football, where we bonded over our love of Kyle Hamilton, who I had as my first, the number one rated prospect in the 2022 draft over Aiden Hutchinson, but also, and she also had Kyle Hamilton as her number one pick, but also club music from the 80s and 90s, and that's Mina Kime. She also does football, in case you didn't know. Mina joins us right now. Mina, first of all, thanks for waking up with us and doing the show early. I know you're West Coast, so we appreciate the time. And did not get to see you this year at the Combine. Just quickly, how long have you been going to the Combine, and what are your thoughts on it moving and traveling around like they do with the draft and the Super Bowl?
I think it's been 4 or 5 years for me. And like most people, I definitely prefer it's staying in Indy just because of the convenience, familiarity, the fact that we all go to the same two or three places to chat and catch up. But if they do end up moving it, my hope is that at least it's somewhere warm.
Yeah. Well, that actually there is talk about that happening. So I want to get right to football, and before we get to the draft, I want to get your thoughts on Texans. You do NFL. You're into the college side right now with the NFL draft as you prepare. So, you know what a dumpster fire the Texans were from the top down. The change happened in 1 year, which seems staggering and astounding. They're playing a much tougher schedule this year. What are your thoughts on what they have from the outside looking in? How sustainable does it look for you from year one of the rebuild, the big fast rebuild, to year two? Do you see bumps in the road, or how smooth do you think it could go for them this year?
Well, I think it's a good question, because everybody kind of assumes when your team starts improving that it's going to be linear, and oh, they were playoff team this year, so next year they're going to be going to the AFC Championship, and CJ Stroud was a top 10 quarterback this year, so he's going to be top three. And you know, it doesn't always work that way in football. Often for reasons that are nobody's fault, injuries, bad luck, odd regressions, players getting older. But I will say this about the Texans. I think because you've found such core players, real centerpieces, tentpole players for the franchise on both sides of the ball, I'm less apprehensive maybe than I would be if it was entirely fueled by, you know, a few veterans here and there, journeyman players. You just have so many ascending players at high value positions. I think things will, on the whole, continue in that direction, even if it's not perfect along the way.
You were, real quick, you were there in Seattle covering the Seahawks back when they were first built, and what John Schneider did there and Pete Carroll. Do you see, granted it's built differently with the secondary and all that stuff, but when you look at how they were built, is that the roadmap they built? They grew their own for the most part. Is that the roadmap you think for success that can continue to be followed and studied? And Russell Wilson was the key that you know, the key that opened the lock. How comparable is what the Texans appear to be doing to what you saw Seattle do when they went on their long run?
You know, it's a little different since the Texans, two of those core players, obviously, are Stroud and Anderson from the same draft, are so highly drafted. The Seahawks build was mostly fueled by players drafted into the mid to late rounds, including, obviously, Russell Wilson, but talking about Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Towns, the first-round draft pick. And then they made some really key veteran signings that I think when we think about the Legion of the Boom kind of fly under the radar a little bit, but in the same offseason, they signed Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, and those proved to be, you know, some of the most consequential free agency additions of the franchise history. And I think that's where I'll be curious to see for Houston if the additions of, you know, Hunter, Autry, Al-Shaair, if those have a similar effect when paired with the young talent like Stingley Jr. and Anderson.
Mina Kimes with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mina, I know this year, J.J. McCarthy seems to be the flavor du jour. Every day, there's more and more talk. It's crazy. Where do you see, after all this dust clears, where do you see J.J. McCarthy?
I think most likely he's still the fourth quarterback taken. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, and you're right. There just seemed to be a lot of hype around him at the moment. I think fueled by a couple of things. Well, let's say three things. One of the things is McCarthy's abilities, which, you know, when you watch his tape, there is a lot to like in terms of the accuracy, athleticism, decision-making. And then, you know, Lance, you can see why NFL coaches in particular fall in love watching his tape, because it looks like NFL tape, right? Like, it's easy to imagine him in an NFL offense because of what they ran at Michigan, and that always has appeal to coaching staffs when there's a little bit less projection. Now, where there's a lot of projection is, of course, in the sample size, because he didn't throw a lot of footballs. I think the other question that teams are asking is, okay, was that just Jim Harbaugh wanting to run that run-heavy offense, and obviously Michigan had leads a lot, or was there any apprehension about McCarthy's ability to, you know, throw them back into games? I think the NFL loves projection. They love the unknown, and that, I think, will probably help his draft stock more than it hurts it.
And the other thing that people have to remember is, I don't know if this is truly as much about this incredible J.J. McCarthy tape, because it's not, or all of the intangibles. I think it also speaks to concerns about Drake May. It's very bumpy tape, you know, some Will Levis type stuff in there from time to time. I think it's concerns about, is Bo Nix really who we saw this year? I think it's concern about, is Michael Penix can be a little up and down on tape, and he's got 4 years of season ending injuries followed by two healthy years at Washington. I think the ascension of J.J. McCarthy, who's not been injured, who doesn't have as much tape, which is a good thing, who does have a winning background, I think that ascension has as much to do with the guys that he could jump as opposed to just, you know, what the exact evaluation of J.J. McCarthy is.
Yeah, there's a little bit of human psychology there, right? Because the red flags or question marks with a lot of those other prospects are things that are known. They're the past. They're traits, you know, history, whereas with McCarthy, the biggest question mark or red flag or criticism is the fact that so much is unknown. And again, to kind of go back to human nature, we tend to undervalue that as a question mark because everybody loves, you know, betting on the unknown.
Mina Kimes with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you make of the Arthur Blank and Robert Kraft story yesterday?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm about to go on First Take and talk about that at 8. I think a lot of it makes sense. You know, sort of one of the biggest questions of the offseason, why did the greatest coach in NFL history not get a job? I think you first have to start with, I know everybody's focused on the Kraft of it all, but Van Natta and Wickersham, you know, they talked to a lot of other owners and executives on other teams to try to understand it, because it's not like the Falcons were the only team that had the opportunity to offer Belichick a job. And I think across the board, you do see a pretty similar sentiment, which is, while Belichick might have communicated that he was willing to, you know, cede responsibility and it wasn't going to be like was New England, a lot of skepticism around the league as to whether that would actually happen. And I think that's totally fair. I also think it's totally fair for Kraft, who, of course, is, you know, denied bad-mouthing Belichick, to have those feelings about him, to believe he wasn't a good collaborator. I mean, who are we to say we know exactly what that relationship was like? I do question a little bit if it's true the motivation for, you know, communicating that to Blank, given that they're sensibly competitors in a way. But it does seem like this is going to be, let's just say we're probably going to hear about the dissolution of this relationship for years to come.
Is the Cowboys the perfect spot for him? Yeah, ready to win now, get him his number of wins to get him, make him the winningest coach ever.
Jerry Jones,
and
though?
Jerry Jones working. Yes, I think there would be somewhat of a mutual respect by both of them.
Ooh. I think it makes more sense than a lot of other teams because, you know, bringing Belichick at this point as a coach, not the general manager, and he has to be willing, of course, to not be the general manager and given his track record in recent years. And then, like you said, you do want a roster that's immediately ready to compete now, not a rebuild, not something where he has to make a lot of important outside-the-box type coaching hires. I think to that end, Dallas does make sense.
Yeah, in that regard, it would. I thought it was an interesting move that Bill Belichick is going to go on with Pat McAfee on draft day. And then we saw a video of him smiling and, you know, they had the headspace shot is so low on camera because they want to show all of his trophies. And I don't know if we're seeing Belichick wanting to show a different side, eager to show a different side, or this is actually Bill Belichick relaxed and just a side we've never seen, or if it's intentional. I did not on my bingo card have Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee on draft night. That was never on my card.
Well, you know, it's been speculated for a minute now that he's been interested, at least, in doing media. So whenever people bring that up, I actually don't. And people say, do you think he'd be good? I actually don't know is usually my answer. I love it when he gets into, like, nerdy detail, obviously, like you guys, I'm sure, in press conferences about, you know, the backup long snapper on the next opponent or whatever. But, I'll be curious to see if he's willing to give opinions, to give detail, because, you know, sometimes guys like him aren't.
Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What are you doing for draft, Mina?
We're going to Detroit. We're doing NFL Live from Detroit on Thursday and Friday. I'm getting there a little bit early, dropping the last pre-draft episode of my podcast, the Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, that Tuesday. And I think I'm doing a live show, the first draft podcast in Detroit on Wednesday.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting draft. It's not the highest end draft I've ever seen, but it's deep at certain positions. But the intrigue of how the first round flows, there's a lot of things up in the air this year that I think make it very, very intriguing. So I'm excited about being done with it, but I'm also excited about seeing how it works out. So I'll be in LA the whole week. I never get to go to draft sites anymore. Last one was Chicago in 16. Now it's just wake up and do radio at 5 a.m. all the time. Not my favorite.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, the draft is one where I don't think you actually have to.
They won't let me off. I'm trying to take days off.
She feels bad for you. You're on the West Coast right now.
Yeah.
Right, Mina?
And we waited until, like, I'd like to come on our show at 9 o'clock Central.
No.
Is that okay?
No.
If I do when I'm on the West Coast?
Stop complaining. Are you kidding? Really? You just have to do a little draft show.
And she has a baby, too.
A little. I know. And she's up all night, probably. And she gets up to do this show, and you're complaining about
not having to wake up. No.
It's embarrassing. It's not what it is. He's embarrassing himself again.
Well, I appreciate you, Lance.
Hey, Mina, thank you Mina. For joining us. We appreciate it. Mina,
and by the way, were we right about Kyle Hamilton or were we wrong?
That's one that appears to have worked out. It's funny because I think I went on to say that I think the best player in the draft this year is Marvin Harrison Jr., which I have to say was a lot less spicy.
Yeah, I have Malik Nabers one, but then Marvin two. To me, it's Caleb Williams is definitely behind those guys. I can't get on board with Caleb's generational. That's just not a thing for me. So that word, by the way, can we stop using generational? Can we really stop that? This is outlandish how often it's used now.
You got a better adjective
than generational? Well, elite was it for a while, but generational to me is a very distinct, you know, I think of Jordan, LeBron, Tiger. Yeah. I mean, I don't see that with Caleb Williams. Caitlin Clark is generational.
I'm not going to lie. I might see it with him.
What's that?
I said I might see it with Harrison Jr., if I'm being candid.
But. Oh, no, no. That's fine if you want to do that. I don't think Caleb Williams is, though, is my point. And I think that, although Marvin Harrison Jr., I did a podcast with Steve Smith yesterday. It's really interesting getting his thoughts on guys. But, man, I just think you can't go wrong with Marvin Harrison Jr. is the safest pick in the draft. But for me, I'll take Malik as little projection, a little bit more explosiveness. But I don't think you'll go wrong with either one of those guys. Listen, we'll let you get back to sleep or get ready for work or whatever you're doing right now. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hi, guys.
Mina Kimes from ESPN. Interesting takes on the Texans, because I feel kind of the same way. I could see them falling off if it wasn't for the fact that you drafted two core players who are now leaders of the team. Like, and it's the triumvirate of offensive quarterback, defensive badass, and head coach. And now you got an owner that shoots the H's, and his wife has really taken on a huge role. This is the appetite. This is the blueprint for success. Your owner has to throw up, you know, whatever your city's big thing is, lean into that.
Right.
Let your wife handle a lot of the heavy lifting. Yeah. And then just draft like and then just go, all you got to do is get your own D'Amico Ryans.
Georgia Frontieri, right?
Get your own D'Amico Ryans.
Schott, who ran clubs.
I mean.
No, I didn't say.
Do you want to compare? Schott?
Didn't Anna she used to have Nazi March? Memorabilia? Didn't Marge Schott have Nazi memorabilia?
She also said that
whole
thing.
Drunk woman in Tennessee.
She also, you think Amy Adams strunk as a drunk?
Oh, strunk.
What were you saying about Marge Schott?
Didn't she also have that $1 million thing she said about her black players?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Didn't she say Hitler had a lot of
Marge Schott controversies? Maybe. There's a whole thing on racism that's five paragraphs long. $1 million N-words.
Yeah. You guys forgot about that?
No.
You think Anna wants you to compare her to Marge Schott?
She said $1 million N-words. Holy moly.
9:33.
Oh.
Craig.
She kept a Nazi swastika armband in her home? Marge Schott.
She said Hitler had made a lot of good
points. Dropped the GD Jews? Oh, my God. I'm only in the second paragraph. There's three more to go, and then there's other incidents on her wiki. Oh, my God. Look at this. This is Marge Schott.
Marge Schott. Oh, no. She could
sanctions
race.
Enforced retirements. Oh, but look what else.
She could race it
what
up.
What about this?
What?
Philanthropy.
Philanthropy.
There's a section that says philanthropy.
We're giving it up. Give it up for Craig DeSurf.
I'll give it up for Craig DeSurf, a man who understands that when it comes time to get a pickup truck, you want to have the best in the business, and that's our friends over in Angleton, and I got to tell you, no matter where you get your vehicles from, first and foremost, you can shop online at LanceZCars.com. We know that most things you can purchase your vehicle by using LanceZCars.com. They'll have actual real photos instead of stock photos that you can look at to make decisions about vehicles and buy the whole thing. Do everything online if you want. Now, if you want to go out to Angleton and go test drive it, you can do that. They'll give you a free t-shirt when you test drive it. They will also, you can also get it and finish all the paperwork there and then drive the vehicle out of there. That's usually what happens with most of the cases. But the car buying experience is easy there. There's no hassle. There's no hustle. They're going to find the most dealer incentives that they possibly can, the highest trade-in value, and they don't want you to settle for a color or an interior or an exterior that you don't love. They'll find a vehicle that you're looking for and also help you with aftermarket changes that you want to make to the cars. Customer service index is number one. Year after year after year because of the way they do business. And you can shop online and start the process by going to LanceZCars.com. It's Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC in Angleton, LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Marge Schott.
He's getting
okay.
He's in a Marge Schott
in 1994,
hole.
She was speaking at an Ohio County Treasurers Association, and she commented that she, you would love this Wikipedia, John. You would laugh so hard. She did not want her players to wear earrings because only fruits wear earrings. She said that. I'm raised to believe that men wearing earrings are fruity, is what she said.
She was raised to believe a lot of things that we
famously announced in the middle of the season that manager Davey Johnson would not return, regardless of how well the Reds did. By all accounts, is because there's a personality clash. Most notably, Schott did not approve of Johnson living with his fiance before they were married.
Okay.
So she didn't like that, so he's gone.
Apparently, she just
she kicked Randy Macho Man Savage out of the broadcast booth for some reason because he was getting too much. Tom Brenneman invited him in, and she just didn't think that had any place in. He was also a minor league baseball player, and she didn't think that had any place in a TV broadcast. So she kicked him out of the booth.
Good for her. He has no place whatsoever in a baseball game broadcast.
Woo!
No, that's not Macho Man. What did Macho Man say?
Hey,
brother.
Oh, yeah,
brother.
Step into a Slim Jim. And then he snapped the Slim Jim.
Right.
Due to Schott's racist comments, a four-man committee was convened to investigate Schott on 1993. She was fined $250,000, banned from day-to-day operations of the Reds. Jim Bowden took over. Schott's comments about Hitler led Major League Baseball to ban Schott from day to. What did she say about
Hitler? She said he had a lot of good ideas.
That wasn't her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the one that said that? Yeah. She, what a wild
yeah,
card.
Yeah, you know, holy, all that killing and stuff, but he did have a lot of good ideas.
What a.
Ooh, did she list her top
five?
There's
more N-words coming in here.
Did she list her top five reasons for Hitler? Like, did she think, oh, Hitler, this idea, this idea. I love this one. I love
this
one.
On November 29th, Schott said the million-dollar N-word comment was made in jest. I was joking, obviously. But then stated that she felt that Adolf Hitler was initially good for Germany and did not understand how the epithet, the Japanese term,
yeah,
the shortened slang for Japanese. She didn't understand how that was offensive.
We got to be fair to Miss Schott. She said that his domestic policies for Germany were not bad.
They weren't bad.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah, you know, let's just make a bunch
Schott
as much.
Explained, listen, the swastika armband I have, it's a gift from a former employee, is what she said. It's a friend who just gave me a gift.
Well, that's fine.
I didn't buy it. He just gave it.
Now, the only reason I brought up Marge Schott is because she's a woman who runs a team, just like Hannah.
Do you think the Texans want that?
Absolutely not. We're not doing that.
No.
Hannah is a saint.
Hannah is a saint. And by the way, Marge Schott is a woman is, I don't know.
What do you say?
She is a rough Midwestern woman.
You're not sure about
she
it?
She is born in the Midwest. She looks like a cigarette smoking.
Heaters, and oh my god.
Yeah, but Marge Schott looks like someone who was always middle aged to old.
Yeah.
No matter how old she was. Are there like young pictures of Marge Schott? Like, hey, you know, young Helen Mirren was hot. Is there that for Marge Schott?
I guarantee you there's no pictures of young Marge Schott. I'm just going to Google young Marge Schott
right now.
Because this show's about to end if Marge Schott was hot.
Yes, there are.
Oh my god.
Well?
Yeah. Yeah, she was a female.
A woman.
She was a woman.
She did identify as a woman.
That's not as bad as you would think.
No. But she let herself go.
Now, what about this?
She really let herself go.
How old is
go.
She? Yeah, I mean, look how old. She was born in 28. So 38, 48, 58, 68, 78. So this is probably when she's 50.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That's not Helen Mirren at 50.
No.
That's
no.
definitely not. Is what's her name? Winona Ryder at 50 is probably pretty good.
J-Lo is.
Who?
J-Lo.
Well, that's.
That's a different.
That's
come
not fair.
On.
J-Lo,
I'm just saying, at 50.
J-Lo at 50 is like.
Yeah.
That's
on.
Tiger in his prime. You can't even. That's not even
fair. Winona Ryder is 52. Yes.
Yeah. She's still fine. She's still good, right?
Sure.
How old is what's her name? The one that you like, Natalie Portman.
She's not 50.
She's in her 40s.
Yeah.
Thanks, John, for bringing up Marge Schott. I'm sorry.
I know.
Lance got right into that rabbit hole.
Oh my god! It didn't take long, but it's amazing what she. I needed the brush up.
Yeah.
What you had? You were conflicted about Marge Schott. She had a lot of good
who's
ideas?
Who's the guy
too?
That they took? Donald Sterling's basketball team got taken like. he wasn't even close to Marge shot. He was just a slumlord and a general, just a general racist.
Yeah, and the recordings killed him.
Yeah, and that he didn't even say that at work like she did.
Hey, this is
she said it in interviews.
This week, we lost one of the true legends in Houston sports radio.
Who?
For longtime listeners, you'll never forget Howard and Memorial. Passed away at 89.
No. Where do you hear this? And
as you can read in his obit below, Howard was a respected GI doc for many years. Well-read on many subjects and a great husband and father. We only knew the cranky Astros fan, but the full picture is remarkable. Heartfelt condolences to his family.
He stopped calling us because he got mad at us about something because we play too much. But we would get calls, and it was never positive.
No.
He would call Astros post-game shows. He would call radio stations, and he would only complain about the Astros.
Yeah.
He was quiet as a church mouse when they won.
Did he have an issue with Charlie, too? Did he ever? I don't know.
No, I'm sure he respected that Charlie kept it real.
Yeah.
So I don't think he ever had. And Charlie went, and I hate to say this, but you are correct. This team is failing miserably.
I wonder what Charlie are Charlie's thoughts about this team. Howard Michael Sussman.
Well, Charlie is on Twitter. He tweets about this team all the time.
I think he probably does sports
Does he feel good about
too.
This team?
And he does sports map. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he does sports map articles as well. Yeah, so sports map stuff. But he was, Howard and Memorial used to call us every day about the Astros. He and always complained. There was always some complaining in there. Howard Memorial.
He was strong in the complain game.
Yep. Kind of like this version of Cub fan Timmy.
Yeah.
Right?
Very similar. He never calls. He just complains about everything on the show.
Complains, yeah.
Don't like this topic.
No.
Next. Next interview. Nope. Terrible. Sorry, we didn't take into your, you can't really program this show. We're not really programmable.
No.
Well, you certainly aren't. No. There's no chance.
Please ask Mina Kimes who she's voting for.
Someone asked if Gilbert can get a signed picture.
To send an autographed picture to Gilbert.
Someone gave her a draft grade, which wasn't kind.
No, her draft grade was not good. She didn't bring the energy.
Not shifty.
She was tired, I think. I appreciate it. Maybe I should have woken her up with a text earlier like she said.
Yeah, maybe.
Like she asked you to?
I noticed the answer started getting shorter and shorter. I'm like, oh, she wants to go.
She wants to go to bed. Yeah. And you just kept it on. What about us? Look how good we are.
Remember when we loved Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah.
Huh? Remember that? Remember
when me and you both loved Kyle?
Remember?
We bonded over Kyle Hamilton?
Huh. Hey, remember when yesterday we were out at the Chevron Championship?
Well,
and remember today when they're playing right now?
Yeah, the ladies tee it up today.
Teeing it up. Okay, this is tomorrow. Will probably be the last time you have to hear me talk about how good they
are. What do you mean, have to?
Well,
get to. No,
get to. Get the last to. Time you get to no, talk about it.
A bunch of people don't like.
I enjoy these reads because it lets me know these ladies would play just like me if I played actual golf.
They're much better. They're much better than you. They're much better than everybody.
Their games are similar to how we would play.
Right. They hit it about the same. Like, we had Angel Yun on yesterday. Her average is 286. 286 is good. It's long, bro. Okay? They can hit it. They can really hit it, and they're good. You're shooting 10 under, which is what tied last year for the lead and went to a playoff at Carlton Woods Nicklaus over 4 days. Trust me, you're good. Really, really good. And that's what they are. And they can play, and you need to get on out there. They've teed it up. They've started this weekend already. Here we go. It is the first major of the year. It's at the golf club, the Carlton Woods, the Nicklaus course. There's the Sterling Park and Ride, which is right down the street, easy to go to, and you get right into you go into the stadium. Get your tickets now. Take your kids. Enjoy great golf this weekend at thechevronchampionship.com. That's thechevronchampionship.com.
Loaded Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Hey,
ago, a student can't go to prom because she brought a bag of potato chips to school. News at 11. So apparently, she was hungry. On the school bus, somebody gave her some Taki chips. She didn't finish the chips. She had a couple chips left in the bag. She threw them out in the garbage at school. The principal called her down and suspended her, and she can't go to prom.
I feel like we're missing context here.
One of the teachers is allergic to something in a Taki chip.
And she knew this, and this girl was trying to kill the teacher.
She wasn't trying to kill the teacher. She threw them in the garbage. Okay? She just bringing the bag, apparently bringing the bag inside the building was enough to get her suspended.
It's a rule.
What kind of school is this?
I know, right?
They'll come back and say she can go.
Montgomery County.
Alabama?
Texas?
Or here? Is this here?
This is, no, it's a Channel 7, News at 7. It's not here. It's Montgomery County. I don't know. Miami Valley Career Tech. Okay.
So are they charging this kid with willful disregard for this teacher's health or something?
There's a charge, per se.
Well, it feels like it if you're banning her from prom.
And she might sue and win millions of dollars from the school system. Yeah. Apparently, there's a new way. San Jose police are coming up to cars, and their question to the driver is, are there any dead babies in the car?
What?
That's the initial question from an a traffic stop in San Jose.
Why?
I don't know why. Maybe it's to shock and awe.
How far into the story did you read?
I'm reading it right here.
And they don't tell anyone why they're doing it?
Officers with San Jose Police Department are asking drivers, are there any dead babies in the car while initiating traffic stops? On at least the two occasions, okay, according to an independent audit. I mean, why? Why was... Is that the... Now, I guess it gets right to the point, how bad a person are you? Right?
It's a test.
It's a test.
If you have dead babies in the car, we now know you're an awful individual.
Yes, then you know what? We're going to let this ticket slide. Why even waste time writing a ticket?
What do you mean
we'll just take it straight
slide? We're going to take you right to jail?
You're going to give a traffic ticket and a murder charge? No. The traffic ticket just goes away.
I guess. Less paperwork.
A lot less paperwork. Yeah. Why are you going to make me waste time calling in your license?
Yeah, you've got to showing up to the case in front of the judge. You've got a dead baby in your car. That's enough.
That's going to get you. Right
to... How about we go with a dead animal, a dead dog? We got to go a dead baby?
Is there anything dead in your car?
Yeah. Why baby?
Yeah. Wow, I can't believe this is the news of the weird. This is happening.
It's real. How about this? The Supreme Court is going to consider outlawing sleeping outside, even if there's no inside space available. On April 22nd, the Supreme Court is going to see how cities respond to homelessness and sleeping outside.
Oh, they're going to try to push the issue.
Yes, it's illegal. It'll be illegal.
You know, have you ever heard that San Francisco has opportunities to build, and then people who are like, we must stop homelessness, and then like, okay, we're going to build here. No. There was one, they had a thing that a lot of different flowers grew on the side of this hill. And people didn't want the flowers to go. And they were special. It was like something beautiful. And they're like, but I thought you wanted homeless stuff. Yeah, but not with the flower thing. Just give them some needles. Just give them, we got to stop this. Give people pillows and blankets. Like, you aren't really an ally in this struggle, in this fight.
No. Well, it's nice outside. You can sleep outside. A Brazilian woman was arrested after she...
Nice outside.
Wait. A Brazilian woman was... Does that mean you can't camp outside anymore either?
Well, that's the thing. Okay. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, I guess, push them to go in that direction. I feel like it's going to fail miserably.
Yeah. A Brazilian woman was arrested after taking a corpse in to sign a bank loan. She knew he was dead, but she was talking to him. She propped him up in the chair like Weekend at Bernie's.
Did you see the video?
I saw the video.
That was the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
And she's trying to get...
And somebody's recording her like they can't believe she's trying this.
I mean...
I saw it. Man, she was putting a pen in his hand. Go ahead, sign this over. Sign this loan application off for me.
Yeah.
I got a feeling she was not going to pay that back. That was Brazil, right? It sounded like Portuguese she was speaking.
Yeah, it's Brazil. It was in Brazil. A wrong couple got divorced after a solicitor clicked the wrong button. They were divorced by mistake after solicitors at a leading law firm made a computer error, but a senior judge said it cannot be overturned, even though it was a mistake.
Okay.
Now, if you're, okay, let's say a law firm accidentally divorced you and Nicole, what would be your, the first thing that you would do?
I'd try to get it reinstated.
Not call Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
No.
I'm free now.
Listen, she's in a committed relationship. And besides that.
And you love your wife.
I love my wife first and foremost. And B, that's as good as I'm going to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't first and foremost.
No, it was said,
first and foremost, this second, is as good as it's going to get.
It was second and prompted by John.
This is as good as it's going to get. Okay?
She's
the best. It'll be better when all the kids are out of the house. You know, yes. That's when we can really have fun. You know, do things that are fun and not just deal with what the next thing is. Like, one of my kids is up at 12 supposedly doing a... My wife went out there and one of my kids is at the table on a computer like, I'm just doing my... writing my essay. You're lying. A, what were you doing the other 6 hours? And B, I think he's lying. I just think he's on the computer goofing off.
He was on the computer. He was goofing off. He and his buddies were goofing off.
There's no question. I'm working on an essay. That's the biggest lie ever told.
Apparently, Germany's chancellor, Olaf Scholz, was talking to a group of Chinese students, and they was asked whether or not
Don't
he would,
it,
if he went to Germany, would he have to smoke weed if he went to a German school? Apparently, in China, they're teaching them that in other countries, you are forced to smoke weed at schools. And he was like, I don't know if you want to, I guess.
We don't really make you do that.
Yeah.
It's really a choice.
But it's your choice.
I mean, but if you decide, we're not going to get in the way.
Yeah. Do you think everybody in Germany smokes weed at school, Lance?
And then I went to Germany last year, and I didn't see anyone smoking weed at schools.
Is this what they sound like when they smoke weed?
Ich bin der von Klon und Unstein Heiger.
Maybe.
I wanted to do a German story just for that.
Just because Dell's a pup, you can puppeteer Dell.
No, it's because it's one of my favorite sound bites.
It's a favorite.
I didn't see anyone smoking weed in Germany.
Especially not the kids. Klon und Unstein Heiger.
Especially not the kids.
Isn't that Taylor Swift's German hit?
I think he tried to play that off as Taylor in German.
We're done. Doc Linville. I just texted him, as a matter of fact. I got a buddy who wants to talk to him about getting a neo grafting, and he needs it. Okay, I needed it. I'm not ashamed of it. Listen, you're really good at growing hair. Congratulations. You did so good at that. You know, it's all just a, who knows? It's a shot in the dark. You could have a great, thick, full head of hair, or you could be follically challenged, like I was. And you know what? The best thing is, I even though I wasn't great at growing hair. I'm just not all that great at it. Doc Linville makes me look like I am. That's what he does. And he'll do that for you too. You're too young to be bald. Okay. Stop being bald already. You need Doc Linville. Doc Linville will get that hair right for you. You are going to love it too. You're going to look great. You're going to feel great about yourself, everything about it. It's the best process. You can get the neo-grafting or you get the PRP, which stimulates the growth. A doc will decide. You go to 975hair.com, and Doc will tell you which way to go. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, bitch.